Good morning, my friends. This is George here at Tuolumne Community Baptist Church. So glad that you're tuning in. I've noticed here in the past few weeks, my listenership has increased actually quite a bit. And I think a lot of it is due to COVID. I think because people are sick and they're not going to church. I have a lot of people in our own church that aren't feeling well who have called me this morning and said, listen, it's not that I feel like I need to go to the hospital or anything. I just don't want to spread it around to anybody else. And praise God for that. You know, that's the good common sense that we need to have to keep each other safe is when you're not feeling well, just stay at home, pick up the podcast, find somebody online or that you like to watch and just enjoy the day at home. Certainly, if I get to that place where I'm not feeling well, I will do the very same thing. Ask one of my elders to pick up the slack and, you know, and just protect the congregation. That's really what it's about. And I praise God. I've been praying for those in my own church, and I know some of my pastor friends, their churches. I've had two churches in our community that have actually closed down because of so many cases that have popped up in their church. But praise God. God is still in control. He's still on the throne. Today's message is common faith versus uncommon faith. Where do you stand in that? It's a very interesting message. I hope you stay tuned. It's one that we all need to hear because we need to have, here's a little spoiler alert, we need to have uncommon faith. And that's what this is about. God bless you. I pray that you enjoy the message. So today's message is common faith versus uncommon faith. The elementary fact is that faith is a built-in part of all humans. Did you realize that? It's a built-in. We are born to be believers. If you think you have no faith, just try living without it for a minute. Try and believe in anything or try not to believe in anything or anybody, your husband, your wife. How about your doctor? How about the bank? You know, you put your check in the bank and you hope that the little card's all going to be there when you go to the store. You realize it takes faith? Yeah, we know that they have technology and we know what they do, but we have faith that is natural faith that's born in us. How about your boss that he's going to pay you like he said, or the baker or the chef, the people that are preparing your food? There are no guarantees. Yet we put our lives in the hands of surgeons, in trust of bus drivers and trains and cars and airplanes. Have you ever gone up to, you know, flown in a big plane and go up and ask the pilot, can I see your credentials, please? You know, that would be kind of a weird thing to do, wouldn't it? It kind of makes sense to me in a way. Can I check your breath to see if you had any alcohol before you got onto this plane? You know, but we, by faith, we do these things. Faith is the kind of immune system to filter out the fears that otherwise would paralyze the entire world. Think about it, without faith. It would paralyze everything. It would stop everything in the world. When it fails, we develop all kinds of phobias and compulsions. It's called a nervous breakdown. And Jesus told us not to have fear or phobias or any of these kind of things. He said, but to have faith. He tells us this in Luke 8:50. He says, but when Jesus heard it, he was talking to Jairus. He answered and said to him, do not be afraid, only believe that she will be made well. He was telling him, hey, just believe. Believe in what I say. She was made well. If you stopped using the faculty of faith, you would never get out of bed in the morning. You would never step outside. You would literally think the sky was going to fall down upon you. This brings so much clarity to the scripture that says we walk by faith, not by sight. Because we really do. That's what the Bible tells us to do. There is a definite connection between what we believe and what the gospel says. When life throws challenges at us, faith in God's word and knowing how to rightly divide it, that is so important, gives us victory over any adversity. Do you realize that? The Word of God has everything in it. Everything that you need, God has already said it. All you need to do is go back to it. How are you going to do that if you don't read your Bibles? Boy, it's quiet in here. Every day we need to open the Word of God and get into it. If you have a situation in your life, go to the index, look around, find it. It's there.
The only thing God ever asked us to have faith in is Him, His Word.
His Word. Amen. Having faith in His Word. The kind of genuine trust we need goes beyond religion. It gives us a way to practically applying the Word into everyday situation. And this brings me to point number one. Using precision in our application of the gospel of grace. But what you have to understand, the gospel of grace is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the gospel of grace. It's Jesus Christ. We have to believe in Him. Which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It gives us an ability to succeed on every level the world doesn't have. Our faith is a powerful tool. However, for it to be effective, we must use the words to put to work. And remember, your words are powerful. We do that by declaring the promises God had made that apply to the specific situation. God already has a provision awaiting for us that will address everything that happens in our lives. The finished works of Jesus have made available to us the answers and solutions we will ever need. Well, Pastor, that seems like a really big stretch. Well, for the world, it is. For us, it shouldn't be at all. We know what He has done for us. It shouldn't be a big stretch at all. We need to be reminded that He has already provided us everything that we need. What is it that's missing? What is it that's broken? God can fix it and provide it. It's essential to understand the specifics of how faith and God's Word are connected. Let's look at 1 John 5:4. For whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. This is the victory that has already overcome the world. We have already overcome the world. We don't have to die on the cross. Jesus already did. Amen. It's already been done for us. It's already there. To overcome everything going on in the world, we must know how to operate with precision where our faith is concerned. When there are issues going on, we go to the Word to take the answer that we need. The answer is in our victory over the problem. Faith sees through the storm to the promise that has already been made. Well, how do we do that? Well, how do you do that if you don't know what's in the Word? This is why, you know, I pound to you guys every week, you got to be reading the Word. I produce these sermon notes. They're free. You can take them. You can go home and you can study these scriptures over again. If you don't pick them up here, give me your email address. I'll send them to you on Sunday mornings to you so that you have them, so that you can go over these things and look into the Word of God and begin to work it and begin to use it in a practical, whatever your life is at, whatever is going on. When there are issues going on in the world, the answers are there. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Okay, you're all really quiet. Nobody said amen or nothing. Faith comes by hearing. Do you realize? Let me clarify that scripture. Am I saying that faith is born in me by hearing the Word of God? Well, in a way, yes. It's already in you, but hearing the Word of God activates what He has already given you. That measure of faith that He gives to every person. Not just Christians. Do you realize every human being born, God puts in them, just like he puts a heart and a lung and all the things that we need to operate. He puts faith, a measure of faith. It's in Romans 12:3. It says, "For I say, through the grace given me to everyone." Do you see that? To everyone who is among you. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. That's really a pretty impressive scripture. Why would he have to say to think of ourselves soberly? Not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought. You see, it's really easy for Christians to get to think that we're better than those out there. That's not right. We are no better. He has, my friend Paul across the street has the same measure of faith that I have. What would make me any better than him? None. We're the same. We're brothers in Christ. Whether he's saved or not, he has that measure of faith. It's been given to all of us, and we should not place ourselves like we go to church every Sunday. Well, goody for you, goody two shoes. That doesn't help anybody. We come to learn more, to have the word edified and open so we can get understanding. That's why we're here. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." We should have that memorized. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is who we are. This is the place that I'm trying to take you, and this is that it becomes just simply who you are. Not something you're trying to be. You want to get to this place where it's absolutely a first response. Something goes wrong, you take it to God. Bad doctor's report, let's go to God. Let's go to the Word. Let's find it. Because guess what? If it takes you out, you win. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you win. It's better to be in the presence of God than to be here and out of the presence of God. But life is such that we hang on to it and we want to live and we have jobs to do here, things to complete. And that's why we're here. That's why we struggle. We don't want to just let go of life. In the context, the word power translates to ability. The Greek word of salvation is sozo, which means our preservation, our healing, our deliverance, our prosperity. Oh my God, he said it, prosperity. One of those kind of preachers. No, I'm a good news preacher. I believe in preaching the good news of the gospel. Prosperity is that word that's just been so badly abused. Just like talking in tongues, Satan's plan to scare God's people. It's all in the Word, and we need to believe in God's Word. In the Old Testament, the gospel is referred to as good tidings, glad tidings, or the good news. The gospel of Christ that Paul wrote about specifically refers to the good news that was prophesied, the good news of Christ, that he came, became our ransom, and our peace offering. He gave us the gift of forgiveness, and the grace of the gospel of Christ is the gospel of grace. This next passage is significant. It was spoke by Paul, and obviously Luke wrote it down in the book of Acts, and it's about the gospel of grace. Look at Acts 20:24. He said, "But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself." Do you realize that's where we need to be? My life is really, it's his. It shouldn't be, I shouldn't be so worried about, am I going to live? Am I going to make it? You know what? He holds my life in his hand. He gives me the breath. He wakes me up in the morning. He puts me on my feet. It's his. If he chooses to take me home, then praise God, I'm there and I don't have to deal with this crazy world. But while I'm here, I want to continue on. Nor do I count my life dear to myself. He says, so that I may finish my race with joy and ministry, which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Wow. This was Paul's confession on what he had been called to do, specifically to testify about the good news of God's favor. Do you realize that's what you're to do? That's what we're to do, to talk about what God has done for us. Rod, I so appreciate you. Every single time I say to Rod, how are you doing? Tell me what you say.
I'm blessed.
I'm blessed beyond compare. And it's so real. That's the first thing he said, how you doing? I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm a child of the Most High God. That's what it means. It needs to be in us where when somebody asks us, that's how we respond. We respond, it's God that's in me. It's not me. Maybe, you know, he'll do that even when he's maybe not feeling really good. Because guess what? He's still blessed. He's still a child of God. God is still the Most High. And that's what we need to be saying. This was Paul's confession. And this is what we're called to do. Our faith is what grace made available and enables us to receive what God wants us to have. God's grace is defined as unmerited, abounding provision of the unrestrained operation of his infinite love. We get it all through Jesus Christ when we receive him. Prosperity applying to the gospel gives us access to all the finished works of God. When a person realizes that, trust me, you're living in prosperity. It's just not some guy saying, well, if I say I have a Cadillac's going to appear in my driveway. Shut up. You know what? If God wants you to have one, fine. But that's not what I'm saying here. What I'm saying is that God will provide for us whatever we need, whatever he wants us to have. Just like there in today's world, there are other gospels being preached. Well, let's go to Galatians 1, 6, and 7. He said, I marvel that you're turning away so soon. This was the Apostle Paul talking to the Galatian church from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which there is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. That happens in today's world, just like it happens in Paul's world. People are still trying to pervert the gospel. I don't care what the denomination or what the sign is over the church, as long as they're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're together, we're one.
Amen.
I don't care if they're Methodist, if they're Pentecostal, if they're Catholic, if they're preaching Jesus, then we're together. But we need to turn away from those things that are not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's look at Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. This grace includes deliverance, our healing, righteousness, redemption, everything else we need in this life and in death. We claim these things. Realize it's not just about this life. We should be concerned about the afterlife. Where are you going to be? Are you truly saved? Do we really believe that God is the grace, the gift that he's given us? Confessing God's word makes our words spiritual containers that travel into the spiritual realm, and they collect the promises we need and bring them back into the physical realm and cause manifestation in our lives. That was a mouthful. The words you say matter. That's saying it again. The words you say matter. You know, if you go through life saying, I'm stupid, guess what you're going to be? Stupid. Because you continually say it. Your words are powerful. God created us how? By speaking the word. He spoke. And the worlds became light, came because he spoke it. And he created us in his image. The words you speak, the words you confess have everything to do with how your life is going to unfold before you. If you continue to speak those negative things, that's what you're going to have. So often, my wife and I, we don't fight, but we go through, she sometimes doesn't see it the way I do, and she'll wake up and say, I just don't think today's going to be a good day. Oh, you just bought the package, honey. Good luck with that. Well, that sounds a little bit sarcastic. Well, I'm sorry that it sounded sarcastic, but can you back that up? I mean, I know you can't unsay it, but what you say is important. It's going to affect how the rest of the day goes. Our words are powerful. It's not like, oh, I'm sick, I have a fever, so I'm going to say I'm not sick. No, I'm not saying that at all. You know that God's going to carry you through, and he's going to break that fever in you. But you don't just say things that are negative. I just don't know, you know, how I feel today or what I'm going to do today. You know what? You need to start speaking from the Word of God. You need to find something positive in the Word of God and start speaking those words. And I promise you, you will see a change. You will see things begin to happen. Did I do Ephesians 2:8? Yes, I did. Okay. We cannot focus on what we see or feel in the physical realm. Do you realize how difficult that is? We cannot focus on it. Well, it hurts, and I can't walk. And so it's pretty hard, Pastor, to not focus on that. So don't be yelling at me that I'm feeling the way I'm feeling. Now, wait a minute. We can back that up, too. Because, yes, you can't walk, and, yes, you have pain, but you can change things by looking into the Word of God for your situation and begin to read the Word and to read the promises that God has given you. And it'll begin to change the attitude. It'll begin to change the temperature in the room. It'll begin to change because the devil will try to attempt to deposit thoughts into your minds that plant unbelief. And guess what? He wants you to speak them. Unbelief prevents our faith from working. Remember faith and fear? The opposite sides? I got one now. Opposite sides of the same coin. My brother gave that to me because I said it. He wanted to prove to me he listened to the podcast. Praise God. But faith and fear are the opposite side. One side you have faith, the other side you have fear. Which one are you? Is it just a gamble? Okay. No, you choose faith. You choose faith. I know that I'm in this situation. I know that it doesn't feel good. I know what's happening all around me. But God and his word says that I am prosperous in everything that I do. You've got to remember to speak the words that God has already spoken to you. Matthew 17:20. And Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Jesus said it. You can text me or email me going, hey, Pastor, I don't know about that. That's all right. I didn't say it. Your Savior said it. Okay, Pastor, do you think that's a literal, make this mountain move? Well, you want me to tell you what I think?
No.
Yes, I believe it is literal. Did he not part the Red Sea? Is that possible?
Yes.
Well, through God, it is.
Overcome cancer?
Yeah. Is that your mountain? To overcome cancer or to overcome any of the things that we're going through? That's a mountain. That's huge. And God will bring you through it. He'll bring you over it. He'll make it go away, whatever he has to do. What is your mountain? Or does it mean literally the mountain I speak to? Well, if I had the faith of a mustard seed, it says, yes, I believe God. And honestly, if I was lost in the desert, and there was a mountain in front of me. And I know on the other side of that mountain is fresh water. God, you said in your word that if I speak to that mountain, you'll move it. And all of a sudden, I see a little cave over there. And I get up and I walk through the cave and it takes me to the other side. Is that not moving the mountain? Could he not literally move the mountain and throw it in the sea and I all of a sudden instantly find myself on the other side of the mountain? Yes, he could. Whatever you want to do, God, but I believe. That's the point, is we have to believe. Some of it sounds so ridiculous. You read that and go, there you go. See them Christians? They're crazy Christians. They think that God can move mountains, and he can.
Amen.
What's your mountain? What is it you need to get moved? 2 Peter 1:3. As his divine power has given to all of us all things. All things. Did it say all things? Did it say all things up there? It does. It says all things. Has given to us all things that pertain to life and goodness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. All things. All things. He's given it to us. All things. And we're simply asked to believe it. We guarantee our success when we confess God's word in faith. Remember, you may not see it or feel it. We walk by faith, not by sight. Okay, Pastor, that's just too far. Are you telling us to believe in what we cannot see? Yes, I am. Roxanna, you're healed. And I'm going to stand on that. And if I stand on until the day the Lord takes you home, I'm still going to be saying that you're healed. Mm-hmm. And I'm believing that we see it in this physical life. But you know what? That's God's. That's his. I just speak the word, what he has already given me to say. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word go forth. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, that it shall not return to me void. Do you guys see, if you're in your Bibles, it's, my is capitalized, my. God, that's God. God is speaking this. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void. But it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing which I sent it. God is telling us that his word is accurate. His word is true. We have been given great power. Our first move when trouble comes is to go to the word and find a promise that'll meet your situation. The power of God is the word of God, specifically the word of grace, Jesus Christ. Grace is something we do not have to work for or earn. We simply take hold of it by faith. And I call it uncommon faith. This is the key that unlocks our peace. Have you ever seen peace of people with great peace? They're literally going through hell on earth. Yet they have great peace. Well, if you've ever seen one, I'll bet you could go and ask them, why do you have such grace, peace? And they'll tell you, it's the word of God that lives inside of me. It's Jesus Christ who's already given me all things. It's already been done. We just need to be able to learn how to use it. Grace is something we do not have to work for. We just have to believe in. Hebrews 1:3. It says, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins and sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus did that for us. Point number two. Sinners have faith. We all do. I think we already made that point pretty clear that sinners have faith. It's been given to each one, Christian, non-Christian, Buddhist or Muslim or whatever it is, you've been given a measure of faith. The next thing we must understand is what it means to be holy and to be the righteousness of God. People often confess faith and virtue. And I'm telling you, they're not the same thing. Virtue is developed. By contrast, faith does not come the same way one learns to play the piano grade by grade. Faith comes by just believing. And you practice it, you work it. Some say, well, Pastor, your faith is way stronger than mine. That's because I've been working out with it. All you have to do is work out with yours. Your faith will grow and it'll get stronger and bigger and you'll be a man of faith. People talk about big faith believers as if they come in sizes like suits. It comes by what you believe and what you exercise in your life. We can have faith even when we know we are not good. You realize that? We can have faith even when we're living in the world, even when we're in sin, we can still have faith. I'm telling you, I try not to really talk much about my past life because I'm ashamed of it. And I do not want to give any glory to that life. But I was a born-again believer when I turned away from God. And I lived in the world for way too many years. I still believed. I still knew that he was there. There were often times the Holy Spirit would show up and I'd say, what are you doing here? You don't belong here. I'm in you. And I'm with you. And we still have faith. We must understand that faith doesn't come in sizes. We all have a measure. Sinners can have faith, otherwise they could never be saved. And you could never be saved. Nobody is good but Christ through us that can believe. We compliment some people for their faith, but they, just like you, were once foreigners. Quite ignorant of the doctrine of faith. But it's the same faith in Jesus that changes us. The Bible compliments some for their faith. You can, like the honor roll that exists, you can read Hebrews chapter 11. They're remembered not by valor or virtue or kindness. They're honored by their faith. It's their faith that God was honoring them. Faith is a perfect, ordinary thing that makes us anything but ordinary in the eyes of God. Since faith is that impossible to please God without faith. Let's look at Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for who comes to God must believe that he is. And he is a rewarder to those who diligently seek him. We got to believe who God is. If we're taken to God, surely we believe, right? You know, some of us, there may be people that say, well, God, I hope you're real. I hope it's true. I hope God would change you to where you know this is true. This is real. Brings us to point number three. We make a decision to believe. Do you realize we choose what we believe? In turn, it will define us. It's interesting this come up. Some of us believe in UFOs. And others believe that the world is flat. There are people out there that literally believe the world is flat. Hey, maybe it is. I'm not going to knock it. I'd offend them. I don't want to offend you flat believers. But you know what? Whatever we believe in will define us. It will define who we are. In our lives, we're presented with millions of things that we could believe in. But God is to be the supreme in our belief system. Above all else, he is the only one worth believing in. Even in the modern world, surveys show that practically everybody believes in God. Of some sort.
somewhere. It's hard to live in this world and to just see the beauty of this world and not know that there's a God. I mean, I just saw on my little vacation a little bit more of California, and I was blown away that God created all this. There's no man that could have went out there with a chisel and chiseled out those rocks and those valleys, and we went to the high desert Joshua tree. It's just mind-blowing that this is all God's creation. It's proof that he is there, that he exists. The question is, what sort of God do people believe? Faith in Jesus Christ requires a character test. In this way of believing, it tests us. Will you stand on your faith when it's hard to stand? I don't expect anybody to answer, shout out, amen. But I want you to really question yourself. Will you? Will you be able to stand on your faith? The kind of God we believe in is the window into our souls. For example, it's the difference between in Christ or Karl Marx, the founder of communism. And you know, a lot of people don't realize that Karl Marx's parents were Jewish, and both parents had lineage into rabbis. They were long-time rabbi Jews. What we believe will change us. We are what we believe. What does it say about us if we follow a faith that only demands a few prayers, a minimum amount of effort? You know, there are religions that are that way. A few Hail Marys or whatever, repentance. Make it simple and people will respond if it's simple. With a minimum amount of effort, these religions can grow in great popularity. They make short demands and gain a big following. I call it a cheap faith for a lackadaisical people, easier to say possibly lazy people. Because there's nothing easy about what we say we believe. It takes work. We got to read, we got to believe, even when it doesn't feel like believing, even when it looks like we shouldn't be believing, we still are called to believe. Jesus Christ asks us for everything. He says, "Son, give me your heart." This is not an easy road of religion. In fact, it's not a religion at all. It's a relationship with a narrow road, but the benefits are literally out of this world. Faith in Christ is a narrow road. Look at Matthew 7. "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." Again, this is your Savior. This life isn't supposed to be easy. "Well, Pastor, I just didn't think it was going to be this rough." I'm sorry. But together, we can pull through this thing together. That's why we're called the body of Christ. We come together when things are bad. We don't stay away. We come together. We must believe. Narrow is the way. Proverbs 4:18. "But the path of the just," who's that? Who's the just? Come on, scholars. There you are. Thank you. I'm just. You're just. The path of the just is like a shining sun that shines even brighter into the perfect day. That's you. That's me. We're confessing in Jesus Christ to be our Lord and Savior. We are the just. "Well, Pastor, the whole world's coming down around you." That's the world. I have life eternal in the sun of the perfect day. I don't care what's going on around the world. I care because I care about people. But I have to have faith and believe, man, I'm not going to get you guys out of here early at all. Nanner, nanner, nanner. It's almost noon. Tony, come on back up and play it nice. This is something that we need. We need to strengthen our faith. Audrey, you need it more than ever before when you go off away from your family. And you have decisions, all sorts of decisions. From the food you eat, the things you drink, the people you hang out with. All these decisions are coming at you. Sweetheart, take it to the Word of God. Always open up your Bible. Always look. Say, God, is this the direction you want me to go? Are these the people you want me to hang out with? Trust Him. Trust Him. And He will guide you through. And you're going to be amazed at how much God is going to do. Same thing, Matthew. You got to trust Him and you got to be in the Word. Just coming here and listening to me babble on for about an hour and you go, wow, that really sounded good. That got me excited is nothing. Unless you yourself pick up your Bible and study the Word of God and apply it to your faith. Amen. Podcast people, bye-bye.